This three verses here in the fourth chapter of Deuteronomy are very good. It talks about our seeking the Lord with all of our heart. Then we're going to look at a couple, two or three scriptures that will enable us to do that. This will not necessarily be a word that will be joyful to hear. But I would say that what you're going to hear this morning would be one of the most important words that you could hear as far as your salvation is concerned, as far as your walk with God is concerned. This is important. Verses 29, 30, and 31. Of Deuteronomy chapter 4. But if from there you shall seek the Lord your God, you shall find it. There's a word you can count on. God doesn't say things frivolously. When he says something like this, it's a done deal. He means it. If you seek the Lord your God, you shall find him. Of course, he's got a little if after that. If you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. One thing that God just doesn't like is indifference and passivity. To feign something that is not something real in your heart. To act as though you really love him, but it doesn't mean that much to you. He doesn't like that. But he says if you seek the Lord and you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul, then you shall find him. And I might add to that that the Lord knows what all your heart means. You might could do it with just a little bit and think you're doing it with all your heart. This is with the whole heart and with your whole soul. Verse 30. When you are in tribulation and all these things come upon you, even in the latter days. We're in the latter days now, so you know, if you read these verses of Scripture, if you pen these scriptures on that particular time and you only see it in history, and you read this and all you see is God's dealing with the nation of Israel at that particular time, then you're not reading the Bible as you should. You're not really seeing it. And he makes it plain here when he says, when you're in tribulation, these things come upon you in the latter days. If you turn to the Lord your God and shall be obedient unto his voice, the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you, neither destroy you, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them. When you are in tribulation. Now you have to notice the way that's voiced here. It doesn't say in case you're in tribulation, or if you were to be in tribulation. It says, when thou art in tribulation. In other words, there's no doubt about it. There will be a time when you're in tribulation. And when will that time take place? Oh, it'll come upon you in the latter days. Latter days is not speaking about the latter days or a timeline. The latter days are the days of maturity. As you come forth out of the crib and you learn how to walk and you learn how to talk and you learn how to do things and you grow and you become a boy, girl, and then you continue to grow and you become a young man. and you continue to grow and you come into your adult years, days of maturity. That's your latter days. Now, you'll remember that when Israel came out of Egypt, they could have gone from there to Kadesh Barnea, which is at the land of Canaan, in 11 days. But they just come out of Egypt as slaves, and lest they have to face an enemy and have not yet matured to become an army, God took them a long way around, you see, for their own protection. So, as you grow, you don't experience these tribulations in the days of your youth. But when you come to your days of maturity, the Lord has a way of strengthening you, making you an overcomer to many things as you face little problems, little ordeals, little things. And then as you grow, maybe you can face something a little bigger. But He has a way of preparing you. Because in the latter days, in your days of maturity, of moving into maturity, this is when you're going to face real tribulation. Because how did this happen? Well, in the previous verse, you began to seek the Lord. And He says, you seek Him, you're going to find Him. But you're also going to find some tribulation, because it's when you really set your heart to walk with the Lord, to know Him, and to become all that He wants you to be, is when you're going to face the challenges. That's when everything within you rises up to war against you and to keep you from becoming what God wants you to be. Now, in your days of adolescence, in the days when you just haven't learned much, God has a way of protecting you. The things of your own self that would war against you and hinder you from walking with God, they just don't bother you much when you're not putting forth that every effort to walk with Him. It's when you really get the revelation of walking with Him, what it means, I want to know You, Lord. I want to know You. And that's when every opposition will come up. And the hardest thing about it is that opposition will come up within you. And this is the time when you reach tribulation. In your babyhood, you're not contending for very much. And so the things within you that are opposed to God do not reveal themselves. I like that last verse. The Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you, neither destroy you. You might think He's going to destroy you, but He's talking about the one that seeks the Lord with his whole heart. I'm going to Job. Yes, 13th chapter of Job. 15th verse. Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. You know what Job went through, and knowing what he was experiencing, he made this statement, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Job had entered his days of maturity, the latter days of Job. He felt like God was slaying him. And he said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. I want to turn this statement around just a little bit so that we can understand it better. Because we read the scriptures and we tend to read them and think of them in a historical sense and in the natural. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I will trust in him when he slays me. And it's getting back to the thing we've already been discussing, is all these things that come up within you to try to keep you from walking with God. And it's not that he's going to kill you. He's going to save you. And he saves you by slaying all of the things within you that would oppose you and to keep you from really knowing the Lord. Let's go to Psalm 14, I think. Yes, the 14th Psalm. Beginning with verse 1 of Psalm 14, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now, it doesn't say that the fool speaks and says, there is no God. It says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That verse we read in Deuteronomy, when you seek him with your whole heart, with all your heart and with all your soul, you shall find him. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. I would explain this as saying, there are many, many, many Christians that make up this fool. The fool is a many-membered fool. And this fool in his heart says there's no God. How does he do that? There's no Christian alive that will actually say the word, no, there's no God. However, they will be half-hearted. They will not seek after him. Many Christians are just very satisfied right where they are. They don't want any more. They don't even think about whether they should want any more or not. They're just satisfied where they are. And they have not been taught to continuously seek the Lord that they might grow in him. That is the fool that says in his heart, there is no God, by his actions, or maybe I should say, by his inactivity, by his not seeking the Lord with a whole heart. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that does good. There is none that does good. Now, we don't have time to get into all of that, explaining it, but good. The word good is a word that describes God. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. So he's checking things out to see if there's any that understand and seek God. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There is none that does good, no, not one. Now you find these same verses repeated again when Paul repeats them in the book of Romans. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord? And this is what I meant, or what is meant by Job saying, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Psalm 78, verse 34. You see, you don't find this just in one chapter. It's not just applying to Job. It's in every book of the Bible. Not only in the Old Testament, but in the New also. Verse 34. When he slew them, then they sought him. And they returned and inquired early after God. I remember after 9/11, people began to get very religious. Something. a tremendous catastrophe took place, and those airplanes went into the World Trade Center, and all those thousands of people that were killed. Then people began to turn to religion. It didn't last very long, because instead of turning to God, they turned to religion. And religion and God is not the same thing. When he slew them, they sought him. 35. And they remembered that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. Their heart was not right with them, neither were they steadfast in covenant. They just became religious. Look at the mercy of God. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity, destroyed them not. Yet many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up his wrath. He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes away and comes not again. He remembers that we're flesh. But the thing I want to get at this morning is the fact that he slays us so that we can serve him. And the slaying is not us in our spirit, but the slaying of what we are in our flesh life in order that we can be brought forth in him. One last scripture, and this is in Matthew 16. We've used this scripture thousands of times, I suppose. We're going to use it one more time. We need the Lord to bring the kind of tribulation. Many times I've prayed and said, Lord, come forth within me with your two-edged sword drawn and begin to slay my enemies. Because that's where they're found. And those that persecute me are within. Of course, if you're a fair weather Christian, if you just kind of go to Sunday morning service out of duty, you wouldn't know what I'm talking about. You wouldn't know anything about the way God deals with his people, what it takes to deliver them. When Paul in Acts 14 and verse 22 says, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom. What he's saying is, we don't enter into the kingdom without going through tribulation. It's the thing that has to be, because it's the tribulations, it's the judgments that's going to separate you from the evil self. Verse 24 and 25, Jesus said unto his disciples, he's not talking to the Pharisees. He's not talking to the scribes. He's talking to the disciples, the ones that are with him. If any man will come after me, if any one of you disciples want to become as I am, the first thing you do is deny self. Then take up your cross and follow me. And whoever will save his life, that soul life, that flesh life that is in opposition to you walking with God, you try to save it and you will lose the life that you could find in him. But if you lose that life for his sake, you shall find it. Deny self. Why? Because it's the self things that are within you that are opposed to you walking with God. And you have to learn how to deny them. In other words, you have to learn how to war against them and to do battle. Take up your cross and follow me. Now, I remember one time, there was a man walking down the road and had a big cross. He was leaning over his shoulder and he was taking that cross. he obviously had read this scripture and he was taking it literal. So he was taking up a cross and he was dragging it down the road. That's not what it's talking about. Take up your cross. Now, if you follow him, you take up the cross. Now, Jesus took the cross upon his shoulder like that, and he went up the hill of Golgotha, and there he was put on that cross, and he shed his blood. To take up your cross and follow him means that you're going to be co-crucified with him. He doesn't expect you. You don't have to be a martyr in the sense that you die, literally. But there has to be the taking up the cross so that that old soul, flesh, life can die. How does Paul say it? And reckon yourself dead unto sin. And we tend to think about sin as being things we do that we shouldn't do, things that we say that we shouldn't say. And that's not the sin that the Lord is talking about. It's a sin of self. That sin of self. Reckon yourself dead unto sin. Well, that's what it takes to become as he is. And that's the reason that the Lord gives us that wonderful promise in Deuteronomy chapter 4. If you seek him with your whole heart, you'll find him. And Job knew what he was talking about, I think. He wasn't counting all lost as far as God was concerned. Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. In other words, because he slays me, I will be able to serve him. Because he slays me, I can serve him. That would be one we should remember. Now, when he's working on you and bringing down the things that are in opposition to him in your life, it don't feel good, you won't like it. But you have to know what's happening. There's no other way. Do you know what this does? The majority of the church world are living here on earth, and the Lord is up in heaven, and they're hoping that one day he will come back. But when he slays you so that you can serve him, and you've gone through those tribulations and the emptying out of self, suddenly you realize he is back. He is back. And you're not looking for some future event anymore, because you're experiencing the thing in your life. He becomes real to you, and you don't look to the future anymore. He slays me, therefore I can serve him. He slays me, therefore I can know him. He slays me, therefore he is living within me. One of the things I always couldn't understand, people will become a Christian and say, I've got Jesus in my heart. But they only think of him as up in heaven somewhere. The whole thing changes. Everything changes. The way you view the scriptures, the way you view the Lord, your experience, everything changes when he really begins to come forth in your life and begins to destroy the things that are opposed to your walking with him. Amen. Though he slay me, I will serve him.